Nope, I'm not going to fuck with that anymore.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are going to talk about my trip to Europe, where Catholicism is a big thing. Let's talk about reliquaries. Well, okay, we'll get into it once we get into the episode.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Something in Latin.
And Nick Glover.
Buongiorno.
It's not delivery. It's Geeks Without God. We're here to talk about Tim's vacation. Tim, you were gone for like, I want to say 4 weeks.
It was almost all of May.
Almost all of May. It was two episodes.
You were gone for so long that even though we pre-recorded a bunch of episodes before you left, Molly and I had to do the unthinkable and record two episodes without you, which was madness.
It was a long vacation.
They must have been shorter and a lot more interesting. So I
can't vouch for either of those things, honestly.
Nick's taller, Tim. Nick's taller.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Anyway, so you took a Disney cruise.
I did.
And the Disney cruise was a transatlantic and then Mediterranean cruise. So you left from Florida.
Yes.
And you went directly to Spain from there?
To Portugal, actually.
To Portugal, to Lisbon.
Yeah.
So how long were you on the boat before you actually made land the first time?
It was 6 days. 6 days before we made landfall in the Azores, which are also technically Portugal.
Okay.
I'm going to point out that in the Azores, I saw some birds that a friend of the show, Sharon Steitler, has never seen before. And communicated with her via text. And I believe my words were, "In your face, Sharon."
When, so now you're the bird dick.
I guess. But So 6 days at sea. Every other day with the clock, we would lose an hour. So every other day was a 23-hour day.
Oh, fun. So one of the reasons you wanted to talk about this trip was that Europe, despite, you know, from our American eyes being, you know, somewhat cosmopolitan or a lot of different religions, you saw a lot of Catholic shit everywhere you went.
Yeah. The thing that you have to remember, Europe, obviously predominantly Christian continent, but predominantly Catholic, except for England, which I did not go to. But England is much more Protestant.
And France, probably, right?
No, France. France is very heavily Catholic. France is very heavily Catholic. The entire continent of Europe, but especially we were in Portugal, Spain, and Italy. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, maybe if you go into like outside the main city centers, you can find some Protestant sects, but all the churches that you're going to find.
S-E-C-T-S.
Sects. Within the city centers, everything you're going to find
only
is
buggery.
Well, if you want to use a condom, you got to go out that far.
God, true enough. Everything you're going to find within the city is going to be a Catholic church, and not just a Catholic church. It's going to be a Catholic church that is older than our country.
Yeah.
In many cases, 2 to 3 times as old. We went into at least one church that they could trace back as far as the 9th century.
Hmm.
As far as when.
So 900 years after Jesus,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. They were still, at that point, they were still trying to figure out what Catholicism was.
It was pretty old.
So it's really, really fascinating the way Catholicism works in Europe versus the way it works in America.
Do they fuck fewer kids?
I can't speak to that. I can't. No. I did not see fewer kids getting fucked. I did not witness any children being fucked, but I presume some of that was happening. They just keep that keep that in the cloisters and not so
they
much.
They got a special spot for it. Yeah. They don't do it unless it's doors open Portugal.
Right. Look,
when they cycle around the priest, it's a worldwide effort. Yeah, they cycle them around.
Oh, yeah. They move them all around.
If you get a new priest in your neighborhood and it feels like a foreign exchange student situation, maybe look out. Maybe there's a reason they moved them.
Was there anything you saw that made you feel anything? Like, I mean, was there anything you saw other than just how old it was? Was there anything you saw that made you kind of go, I mean, not that like you're questioning your atheism, but that you're that felt inspiring or almost like enough to make you go, oh, wow, that
like
I could
religious epiphany.
I mean, yeah, like I could see why somebody believes when I look at this.
I mean, the thing is, there was some stuff that I saw that was amazing that's not the response isn't, oh, gosh, this must be because of God. You go into St. Peter's Basilica, which is in Vatican City, and it's this huge, gaudy, ostentatious church. But
weird.
I know. One chapel in St. Peter's is the size of the church that I went to growing up. I mean, that's the kind of scale we're talking about. And the guide that we had is pointing to these paintings that are all over the fact and saying, you know, what's unique about these paintings? And you're like, well, I can't tell. And she says, well, they're all mosaics. And you're like, really? And you grab your binoculars and you look at these things that are on the ceiling that are, you know, five stories above you. And yeah, they're all tiled mosaic work. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful, amazing artistry. And if anything, it just kind of bugged me that that's what artists were wasting their time on.
Were you crammed in there with a ton of other people, or did you have any kind of sense of getting to feel how it might be to be a penitent, you know, like, or did it feel just like a tourist trap every time?
It depended on the church. There were some churches that weren't very crowded. St. Peter's is always going to be really crowded, but the thing is, it's so fucking big that you're in there with a couple thousand other people and it still doesn't feel that crowded. It's just, I mean, one of the chapels, there was a wedding. Somebody was getting married in St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City, and there was more than enough room for a couple thousand tourists to be walking around, not bugging that wedding.
Yeah.
And all I could think was, damn, those people have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no shit.
Because,
you know.
Or connections, I guess. Maybe they're.
Probably
maybe
both.
They are. Yeah, yeah.
Probably both. But there's nothing that you look at and go, oh, wow, I can understand how this would make you believe in God. No, it just makes me believe in the power of the church to extort money from people.
So obviously Rome's going to be crazy. Vatican City in particular is going to be crazy. How was Lisbon? That's what I would love to know. Like, what was the Catholic scene like in Lisbon? Which seems like Portugal's not a huge country.
Yeah.
And you know, Lisbon is obviously a very large city inside of it. But did it feel more like what you might see? Like, did it feel more like the Basilica, or was it still insane?
There's a lot of different things that I saw. So Lisbon's really interesting in the sense that, like every European city, the city center has churches every two or three blocks. Mm-hmm. It's just, they're all over the place. And you can go into most of them. Now, the thing about Roman churches is any church you go into, there's going to be some sculpture by some sculptor you've heard of, or a painting by some artist that you've heard of in any one of these churches. Not so in Lisbon, but it's still, you know, we went into the Lisbon Cathedral. It's huge. It's filled with gold and it had, oh my God, my favorite thing about the Lisbon Cathedral, I'll have to show you a picture next time we get together. They had this organ. The organs in these churches are beautiful and amazing. They sound amazing. But this one had these black and gold pipes that look like something out of a horror movie. I'm like, in the middle of the night, some demonic organist comes into this fucking church and starts playing, and creatures come crawling out of the organ to terrorize people in Lisbon. That's my headcanon on what was happening with that organ.
One of your favorite things in Portugal, just the giant organ.
That spewed out demonic stuff at night.
Just a giant,
huge black and gold
demon organ. But one of the things in this church, and I even sent you to like a picture of it because I was just like, this shit is crazy. And this shit's all over Europe.
We
right?
just talked about it.
Yeah. Every church you go into has a relic of a saint. I mean, some
like
of them.
Like a saint's toe.
Some of them have a
like
body.
A finger.
Yeah. So,
like a mummy.
Yeah. In this one, they had, it was a golden hand. It was like a forearm. Yeah,
it looked gross. And a
hand like an infinity gauntlet.
With a little window in it. With a little window in it. And inside, you could see there was just this old, blackened, desiccated hand, which was the hand of some saint or another.
Sure. Sure.
Some saint or another. And
definitely not just some hand they finally cut off.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Just not some hand that some medieval con man walks into the church and goes, "Hey, I notice you don't have any saints' relics in your church."
Because they had all kinds of ways of checking.
Yeah.
Like by asking God.
Yeah. This hand right here is the hand of Saint Gregory, who, as you know, was martyred in the year 523 AD.
Uh-huh.
And and they're like, "Oh, amazing. Well, our church needs a relic." So they all have these relics, and in some of the churches you go into, they'd actually have like, here's the body, the complete body of Saint what's her face of Verona or whatever.
Why?
What?
Because they could.
Well,
because,
like, I mean, I feel like are they receiving some sort of power or holiness, or like what is the benefit? What are they hoping that this is gonna like radiate? They're gonna be osmose more God into them by being around Saint Bones? Like, what is the actual purpose?
So the reason there are so many churches is typically wealthy families would build churches as a testament to God, but it was also a testament to their family, right? You get to show how rich your family is and how important your family is by how big and important church you can build. Yeah. And since everybody's a Catholic, whether they want to be or not, everybody's going to church. And you want to have the most impressive saint's relic at your church, so pilgrims will come to your church to visit that relic. Because when they
it's
come to your church
attractions.
To visit that
they'll
relic,
give money, they'll give donations.
It's the mystery hole.
It's the Fatima Center saying, "Why do we honor relics?" Says that actually the veneration of relics precedes Christianity and has its origin in the Hebrews' ancient practice. So that's the way that they say, look, it's not our idea. It's actually a very old idea that makes a lot of sense, but it's 100% to get money. Like, that's the whole point of getting anybody through the doors of any church.
Of course,
a bunch of pilgrims sitting around, like, planning their vacation, being like, "What? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go pilgrimage next season? Where are we going to go see? Well, I definitely got to see the skull of Saint, Michael the Fifth or whatever. I want to put my fingers in the eye holes. We're going." And someone else is like, no, we got to go. They got the shattered pelvis of Jesus's barber over there. We got to go to Lisbon.
Jesus's barber. The shattered pelvis of Jesus's barber. I didn't get to go to that church, but that one was a very exciting prospect. It is all about money. I mean, that's why you walk into St. Peter, and all I could think about is how much money got wasted there.
Just FYI, if today you were at the Holy Trinity Catholic Church of San Pedro, California, you could publicly venerate St. Jude's relics. They actually have relics. There is I just Googled Saints Relics Road Trip.
Do you?
And there are St. Jude, his relics are available. They are taking a trip across the great state of California.
What are the relics?
They don't say what exactly they are.
Is there a penis?
The relic is, let's see, hang on. His remains, it's his hand. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Tim, it looks like the thing you were describing.
It looks just like the thing you sent to us.
Oh yeah, it does.
It's his hand making the Boy Scout, the holy gesture of the Boy Scouts. Yep. And
I just want to know if the way they
got wax seals on it, and
I want to know if the way they venerate it as they're carrying it through the streets is everybody goes nah 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 nah. Na 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 na, Saint Jude.
Saint Jude. That was, that would make John Lennon so mad.
That song was written by Paul McCartney. I'm just saying. Anyway,
so I have another important Catholic European question, yeah, which is: how many codes did you crack, and did you find the secrets?
I didn't. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of time. That's I think the biggest problem.
Yeah. Were you drowned in a fountain and you pretended you were drowned, but you weren't, and then you cracked a code? Maybe
it was so crowded in Rome, I couldn't even get anywhere near
you had
the
your
fountains.
Wife with you too.
There were so many people throwing codes. Themselves into those fountains to drown themselves. That it's just.
What about how many attractive archaeologists did you?
Yeah,
team up
were
with?
There a lot of them?
We didn't get to Venice, and that's where all the attractive archaeologists are. Okay. They're all in Venice.
Yeah, yeah.
So we didn't really get a chance to run into any of those, which was a pity. But yeah, Venice is where all the attractive archaeologists hang out.
Oh, shoot.
Did you give them? Did you do anything with like holy water? Did you give them any money? I mean, obviously, I'm assuming you didn't give any money, or did you feel white guilted into doing it?
I didn't feel white guilted, but some of the churches, in order to go into, there was an admission price.
Oh, so, you're fucking kidding!
No, not at all. You don't go into St. Peter for free. That shit does not happen.
How does that happen?
It's Pride Month, honey. He makes his.
What's general admission to the Basilica?
It really depends on the church.
St. Peter's.
St. Peter's, it wasn't that bad. It was like 10 euros.
A purse?
Yeah, a person.
That's not bad.
No, I mean, not for tourist stuff.
I mean, fuck them. That's not bad.
St. Peter, it makes sense because if you don't charge people, there will be too many fucking people in that church.
Yeah. Sure.
But
you got to keep out the pores. Is that what you're saying, Tim?
But others, I think.
Enjoy culture.
I genuinely think one of the reasons, and Europe right now, the tourism is so crazy. Pat and I went for our 20th anniversary, close to 15 years ago, and I went to some of the same places, and the lines to get into those places were so much worse. So much worse than they'd been 15 years ago.
Well, there's more people than 15 years ago, just in general.
Yeah,
I mean, in Florence, they have a cathedral, the Duomo, where you can pay to climb up to the top of the cathedral. When we went there 15 years ago, we walked up to the door, paid our money, and we were able to climb up to the top. This year, when we went, it was sold out before we ever got there.
Oh, wow.
So that's it. Part of what they're doing
is
crowd
control.
Well,
I'm glad to see
the
Catholic Church not struggling.
But they are struggling.
They've had it hard.
But they are struggling. I mean, that's the thing. Is it's like,
how?
I was in a couple of these churches on Sundays.
How are they struggling?
Well, that's what you got to understand. I was in a couple of these churches on Sunday, and you know what wasn't there? A congregation.
Yeah, but
that
still getting
sounds
there.
Like spiritual struggling, not financial struggling.
Right. Well, that's the trick,
right? That sounds
right?
like the kind of struggling where you're like, I'm just having a hard time, but like my trust fund pays all my bills.
But I mean, that's the thing that's really interesting is that they're making their money off of tourists coming to see these old buildings, to see these works of art by famous
lawsuits.
Artists, but they aren't making their money off of faithful as much.
Because that's decreasing across the globe. I mean, especially in Western countries, like anything in the European Union and America, not just Christianity and belief in general, but Catholicism particularly is you know, I don't know if you know this, but there's been some pretty bad press.
Apparently.
They what? No? No.
Apparently, but...
I do... Yeah. Tim, there's one thing that has been the most interesting thing to me from your trip that I really need to talk about.
Okay.
Because I think it's the one thing that might make you believe in God.
Oh,
and
you
that's
think so?
The magician on the boat.
The magician.
Please. Okay. So Tim, please tell the people about the magician, because it sounds fucking crazy.
This is where the magic actually happens.
This is the only thing I think that would ever make you go, well, hold on.
His name, by the way, was Eric Jones. I believe that's right. Eric Jones. Look him up. Look him up on YouTube. He was great. Eric Jones or Eric James. Eric J name. Anyway.
I had a similar problem last time I was on a cruise ship with J name.
So he did great. He did great magic. Almost all of his magic was sleight of hand magic.
Mm-hmm.
I know. That's him. Yeah.
Okay.
Eric Jones, is that right?
We'll get him in the links. We'll get him
Eric
in the
Jones.
Links. Okay.
So he did a lot of sleight of hand magic. He did really good stuff, and I got to be an audience volunteer.
Yeah. You were the guy.
I was the guy. He was talking about his favorite X-Man, and I knew who he was talking about.
And it wasn't Nate Gray.
It was Nightcrawler. So, he started talking about Nightcrawler. He's like, anybody know who I'm talking about? I'm like, Nightcrawler. It's like, you're the guy I'm bringing up here. So he's doing
I
bamfed up on stage. So he's doing a teleporting sort of illusion.
Sure.
And the thing that's really impressive to me is I knew what was going to happen. Right.
Okay.
So he starts by having me show my hands to the audience.
Yeah.
He draws a black X on his hand.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I'm like,
Like a little
black X on his hand. And I'm like, that black X is going to show up on my hand.
Right. So you're watching for it. You're waiting for it.
I know what's going to happen. The black X is going to show up on my hand. And he shakes my hand at one point. I'm like, maybe that's when it happened.
You check your hands.
I didn't, because he was very careful to not let me check my hands.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, he's hold them this way, do this. And it's like, so I'm like waiting to see if I feel like a point where he could mark it. And the thing is,
pressed it or something. Okay.
Yeah. And the thing is, when it shows up on my hand, it showed up on my hand somewhere where I'm pretty sure he never touched me. And it was just so fucking great.
So this is the closest thing I could ever come to thinking like maybe there is a God. It's like when someone can successfully pull off this kind of magic on me, it is so amazing. So yes,
it was so great. It was so great. And he did a bit like a couple of days later, because he was on the cruise for the whole time. He was the whole transatlantic part of the cruise.
They are.
Well, no, the way these people usually work is they'll get on at one port. They'll stay on through maybe the next two ports, and then they'll get off, and then they'll get onto a different ship.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
So, but we're doing.
I've only been on one cruise, and we only went to Jamaica. So.
Yeah, but we're doing a transatlantic, right? So if you get off on in Fort Lauderdale, you're not getting off until the Azores. There's nothing you can do about it. So he was on
at best.
He was on for like 6 days and did several things. And one of the things he did was a bit where he taught kids how to do sleight of hand.
He was like, let him loose on a true ship or steal from everyone.
He was like, I'm going to show you how to do some of my tricks. And it was really cool. It was really cool because then he went and did another show. And you're like, well, I know in a sense how he's doing.
Did you watch another show where a guy had the X transfer and you were trying to figure out what happened?
No, he only did that once.
Okay.
He only did that once, which is pretty typical. Pretty typical.
Okay.
A magician's only going to do in front of the same audience. He's only going to do the same trick one time, or he's going to change it up.
Not my experience with the cruise ship magician, but that's fine.
Well, clearly you had a shitty cruise ship magician.
I know about your experience with the cruise ship.
My experience with the cruise ship magician in hindsight, I bet he was like 24, but to my 17-year-old eyes, I think he seemed so old. Amazing.
They also had a mentalist on, which I was like, and he was one of those guys who's like, I'm a mentalist. I read minds, but I don't read minds.
He's a cold reader. Yeah.
Yeah. I do all of these things to figure shit out. And
it's like the show, The Mentalist.
Yeah. But the thing is, he'd be working like five different tricks at once. So he'd be doing a bit where he's like getting a bunch of people to pick out keys. to open up a box that he's put someone's shoe in. At the same time, he's turning to another person in the room and going, "So your favorite actor is Robert De Niro, right?" And they're like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Cool." And then he's going on for a while. And he turns back and he's like, "Casino, right?" And they're like, "What? That's your favorite De Niro film, right?" And they're like, "Yeah."
You know? Oh my God.
It was great. Yeah, and that's closer to believing in God. And Darren Brown
makes me think of Darren Brown, who like is one of the best mentalists in the whole world.
I would love to see some live mentalism. What was that? We saw a show that was, anyway, a little bit of mentalism and magic recently.
An in-person show?
Yeah, did we? No. I'm thinking of something else.
I think you're thinking of that special we all watched together.
Yeah, you're thinking of that.
Absolutely.
Yep. But it's funny because Tim, you were talking about, you sent us this thing about the Saints relic, and I was like, yeah, sure. And you were, you know, and it was like, and then you talked about this magician, and I'm like, see, now that's the spiritual experience I'm interested in discussing. Because to me, that's the closest that I think anything ever comes to feeling supernatural to me.
Right.
Even though it's like an honest.
It's honest and it's true and it's actually happening. There's nothing supernatural, but I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know how he did it. And it's like, I knew it was going to happen. He did a bit at his second show where he handed a woman a Rubik's Cube that he'd mixed up.
Uh-huh.
And had her put it behind her back. And I'm like, when that Rubik's Cube comes out from behind her back, it's going to be solved. I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew it. But I couldn't tell you how the fuck he did it, because I saw that Rubik's Cube go behind her back and it was not solved.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a plant.
Yeah.
No, she was not a plant.
It's just, this is the kind of shit that just like, I don't remember where we were, but we saw a street magician that I sent money over Venmo because I was like, fuck yes.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
But we've seen some street magicians before. And I will admit, I am a person who likes to, I am gullible. It's true. I also like to just, I don't like to see spoilers before shows. I like to have that preservation of disbelief and excitement and magic.
You're gullible, but you are susceptible.
I am susceptible. I am also gullible.
You're influenceable.
And I like the idea. I love magic. I love close-up magic. I just love it all. And I find it fucking delightful. I just think it's so cool. And so to see something like that, oh man, like just panties hit the floor. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's just like, that's the best way to describe it. Like, I just,
all right,
like
Nick, if the magic is going out of your marriage at any point, you know what you need to do.
I'm not worried about
a quarter from behind Molly's ear.
I'm not worrying about have to learn card tricks or anything.
You guys don't understand. Nick got my nose in 2005 and I married him. So ultimately, on this cruise, you didn't find God. You didn't decide to be a Catholic. No. You didn't let your kids just go be with the priests. But did you see anything? I mean, other than the relics and obviously the beautiful architecture and the mosaics, and it's, you know, a lot of that stuff. Just the fact that it's so old is really cool. Was there anything that made you that felt notable to you? Was there any evidence of modern Catholicism, I guess, is what I'm getting at?
Well, I went to the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, which is very much a modern building. I mean, it's still under construction. It's been under construction for over 100 years, but
sorry.
That's a long story.
So dystopian.
And part of it is dystopian because one of the reasons it's been under construction for that long is because the Spanish Civil War happened in the middle of that 100 years.
In the 1800s?
It's very modern. I mean, a lot of the artwork in there is artwork that's been contemporary, has been made in the last 20 years.
Oh, wow.
The interior of it, I don't even know how to describe it, because the exterior of it is covered in these sculptures, some of which were made back in the 1800s, some of which have been made like in the last 20 years. The architect, Gaudi, has a lot of work throughout Barcelona, and he has a really, really distinctive style that doesn't look like how other people design buildings.
Okay.
You know, and this doesn't look like a, if you look, go to the Sagrada Familia, if you look even at pictures of it, it doesn't look like what churches look like anywhere else.
Mm. And why is that? What does it look like?
Well, it's got 20 some odd spires. It is covered in exterior sculptures, and the exterior sculptures are, some of them are evocative. They're much more nature focused than sculpture in other buildings. He uses a lot of tiles and mosaics on the exterior. it's hard to explain. I mean, but it's like, if you look at any other church in Europe, and then you look at the Sagrada Familia, it's a completely different experience. And the interior is entirely different from the exterior. There's no sculptures on the interior at all. It's designed to look
no friezes or anything.
No, it's designed to look like a forest. So all the columns that are leading up, that are going up to the ceiling, like, look like they are, create a canopy of trees over you.
Wow.
All of
with
the
leaves
stained,
and everything, or just like bare bones trees?
It's abstract leaves. I'm not going to say
sure.
But it's definitely there. You can definitely see it. The stained glass is all abstract stained glass. It's color and shape. None of it is iconography at all. So it's all about just these splashes of color coming into the interior of the church.
Oh, wow. Nick's showing me some images, and it's very cool. It looks almost like something you'd see in Vegas, like a Cthulhu, or
there's a Cthulhu aspect to
Cthulhu,
it.
Cthulhu, thank you. Yes.
Yeah. It's very, very modern, and it feels different than in most of the cathedrals in Barcelona are very old. They're Gothic. So.
Hmm.
Baroque, which is a little newer, is what you see in a lot of Roman churches. The Gothic churches are old and cold and heavy, and they have these vaulted ceilings. And there's something about the Sagrada Familia, which is bigger than any of them, which felt a lot lighter. The way it's designed to bring light into the building. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
sure.
Almost all of it is designed to focus and bring light into the building. So in the middle of the day, it almost feels like the sun is shining inside the cathedral.
Crazy.
I think with religious architecture like that, even more so with things older than Baroque, but still as recent as Baroque era, I feel like what is most amazing to me is if they could just like have a table somewhere where they laid out the tools, the type of tools, the technology level it was used to create this building.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you'd be like, you'd see some amazing structures, and then you'd get to the tools table and be like, well, this is some Iron Age shit. Like, some guy made this, their level was a rock on a string. Like, I don't, like, that's how they,
right.
You know, like,
yeah.
That's amazing.
The most frustrating.
We barely had ladders.
The most frustrating thing about all of this is how all the greatness of architecture and art was, I think, stolen by the church. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because they had the money to pay for everything.
They kept it all to themselves.
Yeah. Was there anything that was underwhelming? Was there anything that you, whether you'd seen it before and it didn't live up to expectations, or you hadn't seen it before and you were like, huh.
That's a good question. I think because I was pretty careful to sort of pick and choose what I went to, that mm-hmm. I didn't really have anything where I was like, oh, well, that was kind of not great.
Everything was good.
The thing that was super frustrating, I'm trying to think. There was one singer on the cruise who was a Broadway singer who wasn't that great.
Oh, sure.
Her voice was kind of raspy. And, you know, the funny thing
excuse
is,
excuse you.
Hey, she's supposed to be a, she,
how
she,
dare you?
She was a lead on Broadway, Molly. That's not how she's supposed to sing. No, it was mostly that her voice sounded pretty raw. And
have you know, I can do all the parts of Hamilton. As I will focus on at a karaoke party.
But no, because we really kind of picked and chose where we were going. We went to a flamenco show that I did not think I was going to be excited by, and it was fucking great.
I mean, oh, really? Like dancing or just guitar?
It was both. I mean, the guitar player was...
Flamenco guitar is fucking insane.
Yeah, well,
they play the guitar like it's six instruments.
I know. It was like at the end of the show, the guitarist got the last bow. That's how good he was.
Oh, yeah.
It's like everybody else bowed, and then the guitarist is like, oh, and also these hands, motherfuckers.
Were there dancers?
There were.
The stompy heel thing with where the percussive dancing. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Two women and one man, and they were all, the man was the best of the three, but they were all clearly well-seasoned professionals.
You can't say that.
They were all great.
Problematic.
I know. Wasn't white. Or was he?
Well, he was Spanish.
That's awesome. So now that you've done this, do you feel like, is it like a bucket list thing that you've crossed off, or is it something where you feel like you want to revisit these sites? And not just to go again, but like, do you feel like you got everything you needed to get out of these sites?
No. I mean, I had 6 hours in Rome.
What would you do?
I had 6 hours.
Sure, but
in Rome.
You've been to Rome before.
I know, and I spent a week there, and it wasn't
like a couple
enough.
Times.
Yeah. So there's
what
so
is
many...
it in Rome that you didn't get to do that you need to do as an atheist?
As an atheist?
Yeah, as an atheist, what is it in Rome that you didn't get to do out of the last 12 days you spent in Rome that you or whatever?
I was there for six hours,
but a week before that. And have you been before that?
No, that's it.
Okay, so you've been there for 1 week and 6 hours. Like, so what haven't you seen that you felt like? Because I can understand why a religious person would feel the need, or somebody who, you know, wanted to see a lot of specific sites. Are there sites you didn't see, or what is it about the city that you want to go back to it for?
Rome is a city where around every corner there's something new.
Okay,
there's a ton of. Pretty much all old, but there's a ton of ancient Roman ruins that I never got a chance to visit because they're just too many of them. There are churches that I never got to go in, and they all are different and interesting. There was one church I remember going into that wasn't on any list of things that you need to do in Rome, but you went into it. And the most interesting thing is there are these columns in the middle of the church, and they're all columns that got pulled from different Roman temples that they just were like, well, let's take these and make a church out of it. So none of them were from the same temple. They all had different capitals. They all were made out of different marble. And just seeing the way that city was transformed from the Roman religion to the Catholic religion, and the Catholics sort of repurposed it. There's this church in the middle of the Roman Forum that there are all these old columns in the front because it was an old Roman temple, and they have these chain marks on them because originally they were going to take down the temple and build a church. And the temple was so well built that even though they harnessed it with chains to teams of horses to pull down the columns, they couldn't. So they finally said, fuck it, we're just going to turn it into a church.
Do you know whose temple it was?
I don't remember. I don't remember. They I could get you that information, but I don't remember.
I always am interested to see who's, because obviously that means that construction and time and money went into that back in the day, right? So like whose temple was so important. Well, that's very cool. I'm glad you're back. We missed you. Geeks Without God Without Tim just isn't the same. So if you had any advice for anybody, if they were going to go to any one of the sites that you saw on your trip, if there was one place that you thought they should go to, let's say it can't be Vatican City because it's a whole fucking place.
It's a whole fucking thing. Yeah.
That's like a, yeah. If there was like a site, a place to visit, what would be the place?
Pompeii. Go to Pompeii. Because I don't even know how to help you to understand how cool it is. This is a city that was buried under volcanic ash and they've unburied it. And
yeah, it's been excavated.
Yeah. So you can see how people lived. I mean, they know, they can go to a building and they go, we know this was effectively a street merchant that sold food. And we know it because all this shit's still here.
Yeah. That's very cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. Go to Pompeii. That's all I can say.
Well, if you can take the Disney Mediterranean transatlantic cruise, then do. But if you can't, see if you can go to Pompeii and tell them Tim sent you.
And they'll be like, oh, Tim, he is such a great guy.
Tim Wick of America sent me. We've been Geeks Without God. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week with more geeky, godless fun. If you want to support us on Patreon, do it. If you want to send us 5 questions, do it. You don't. You fucking don't.
You would have done it by now if you wanted to.
Don't even pretend to me. In your mind just now, you were like, oh, you lie. You liars. All right. And we will see you next Tuesday. Bye. Bye.
Shit, I forgot to mention the gelato. It was really good. It was really good. Not Catholic at all.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Should have mentioned gelato. You mean ice cream? Shut your fucking mouth.